I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. I'm really excited about my guest today, but before I get to the interview, I want to answer one of your questions. And at the end of this interview, I'll share with you how you can have your questions answered. This is a question from Becky. I have very sensitive skin and break out in acne all the time. I've heard about using oils to cleanse and moisturize my skin, but I'm worried it will make me break out even more. Are there any oils that are okay for acne-prone skin? Well, Becky, that's a great question. A lot of people with acne-prone skin or people that are concerned about breaking out think that you can't use oils on the skin, but it's really about using the right kind and pure kinds of oils and the right blend. So there are two that I'm going to mention. If you're doing a do-it-yourself skincare regimen or you're looking at natural skincare products and ingredients in those, there are two that I'm going to recommend that you keep an eye out for. That's almond oil and jojoba oil. Jojoba oil is one that you may not have heard of before. It's spelled J-O-J-O-B-A. And these are great oils for even acne-prone skin or dry skin that works well too. But they're not going to be those pore-clogging, acne-producing kinds of oils. In fact, they actually help nourish the skin. You don't want to dry out and strip your skin, even if you tend to have oilier, acne-prone skin. So That's some advice on oils. And speaking of oils, one of my favorite oils to consume internally for glowing skin comes from a food. That food is wild salmon. If you've heard me talk about the best foods for skin, you've probably heard me mention how great salmon is to eat for healthy skin because of its omega-3 and astaxanthin content. I've had people ask me a lot of questions about fish because I talk about salmon being such a great food. They ask me if it's safe to eat, if it's sustainable for the environment. So to answer your questions and tell you all about seafood, I invited a former fisherman and owner of a wild seafood company, Randy Hartnell. Randy spent more than 20 years as a commercial salmon fisherman in Alaska. In 2001, with his wife Carla, he founded Vital Choice Wild Seafood and Organics, a leading online seafood company. Randy is dedicated to helping people have access to high-quality, sustainable seafood while educating them about the impact of food choices on their health, the environment, and seafood resource. In this interview, we cover health benefits of consuming seafood, quality, purity, and contamination concerns, the safest fish to eat, the real difference between wild and farmed, and sustainable fishing practices. So please enjoy this interview. Randy, it's so great to have you on my show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Trevor.
Yeah. So Randy, you're a different kind of guest that I typically have. You have an interesting background as a commercial fisherman, right? So I want to hear about what that was like and how that got you into what you're doing now.
Well, that was a great lifestyle. It's been quite a while now. It's been about 15 years since I retired from fishing. I was more or less forced out of it. But I started way back in college, working my way through school, and fell in love with the lifestyle, earning a living out in nature. It was something I really loved, did for over 20 years. And then about 15 years ago, industrial salmon started taking over world markets and basically pushed the wild salmon that we were catching out of the market. And so almost overnight, the prices collapsed, couldn't make a living at it anymore, and needed to figure out something else to do. And But the real tragedy of it was that the fisheries were healthy. Alaska has a fantastic management system that's been in place for over 50 years. And so we were catching lots of fish. They just weren't worth anything because nobody wanted them. Everybody wanted the cheaper, more plentiful farm salmon. And at that time, they really didn't know the difference between the two, which can be really dramatic. So anyway, I had to come up with something to do, essentially started Vital Choice as a solution for people who still wanted wild salmon but couldn't get it. And so I view the company now as sort of a we serve our customers. We connect this incredible resource up in Alaska with people across the country who appreciate it and want it. And fortunately, more and more people are becoming informed about the differences between wild and farm salmon. So our demand has been growing steadily ever since we started. So, and it's really a joy to be able to provide our customers with great seafood, one of the healthiest, most sustainable foods on earth, and also at the same time support the people that are still making a living fishing in Alaska.
Great. And you mentioned, that's fantastic, and you mentioned that people are now more aware about the difference between wild and farm. What are some things that you saw made that shift happen?
That's a great question. And that's really, that educational component has been a big part of our mission at Vital Choice from the very beginning, because I came from the industry and I saw the devastation that resulted as a result of the abandonment of wild salmon. And it's very similar to what has happened in the cattle industry, or, you know, all kinds of proteins, where you've had the big industrial feedlots that have put the small independent farmers out of business to the detriment of the nutritional quality of the food, right? So so we started out basically telling our story to anybody who would listen. And I sort of figured out that if I could connect with the influencers, especially in the health and wellness community, who already had big audiences, then you know, if I could educate them, then they could in turn educate their communities, the people that read their books, that watch their PBS specials, so on and so forth. And so I made that was my mission initially, to do that. And what was really incredibly surprising and beneficial was that when I would reach out to these people, people like Dr. Andrew Weil and Dr. Christian Northrup and Dr. Nicholas Perricone, they were really receptive to the information. They wanted to hear it. They started putting us in their books, and that just became a sort of a campaign by which we educated a lot of people through them. Not only us, but that was, I don't think anybody else was reaching out to those particular types of folks the way that we were. And so consequently, millions of people sort of got the story. And now most of those people, most of the health influencers, do understand it. And so whenever they have an opportunity, whenever anybody asks them, you know, about the differences, they're able to pass that information on.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Dr. Perricone as one of the people. And so he is a dermatologist. And this was, when was it? He actually... tell the story about how you connected with him and how that went for you.
Sure. Yeah, I was still a fisherman back then. In fact, I was fishing a herring fishery in San Francisco. And it was one of those life experiences that started out like the worst possible thing that could happen, that actually turned into the best possible thing that could happen. We hadn't been made much money back during that period. And so I was down there trying to catch some fish, and my boat broke down. My engine blew up, and I went into the dock, and we started the process of rebuilding my engine. And I had this little TV on the boat that I would leave on, just basically for noise in the background, and it was on the PBS channel. And Dr. Perricone was doing one of his programs on PBS, promoting a book that he was. It was very popular at the time. I think it hit number one on the health and wellness charts, called The Wrinkle Cure. And I remember thinking, wow, what is PBS doing promoting a book called The Wrinkle Cure? But as I listened to it, I realized that he was talking about wild salmon being the ultimate skin food, the ultimate wrinkle cure, you know, because of all the healthy fats and the other micronutrients that are in not only salmon, but other seafood. And I thought to myself, wow, because I was thinking about starting Vital Choice at the time. So I was thinking, well, he's telling his national audience to eat salmon, and particularly wild salmon, but 99% of them have no idea where to get it because it's been displaced by the farm salmon. So I wrote him a letter. My wife and I sat down, spent a couple of days, wrote him a letter, and he responded. Make a long story short, we flew out to Massachusetts where Connecticut, where his office is, and met with him, told our story. And he said, well, you know, what you're suggesting would be a great resource for my readers and my audience. So we will we'll put you in our next book. And he did. And sort of the rest is history, so to speak. That book came out.
What book was that and when was it?
That was called The Perricone Prescription. And that came out, I think, in August of 2002.
Okay.
And so we met with him about 6 months before them, and he told us we had 6 months to basically get our company together. So we had to build a website and packaging and just all of that stuff that I really didn't know how to do. So it was an exhilarating 6 months, but it all fell into place, and he's been sending us customers ever since.
That's great. That's great.
Very grateful for it as well.
So you mentioned what he talked about in his book. And for those people who aren't familiar with his book and when he talks about the nutrients in fish, what is your awareness of the nutrients in fish that are particularly good for our skin?
Well, of course, the first and foremost are omega-3 fatty acids, and particularly the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA. And there's some others in there, DPA. But, these are marine fats that are not found in the terrestrial food supply. And, life evolved in the ocean and amid a background of these marine fats, which originated algae, one of the earliest life forms. And so if you look at the primary biological components of our bodies, basically our cell, our eyes, our brains, our reproductive systems, those all contain concentrations of these long chain omega-3 fatty acids, and our skin, of course. And what's happened with our industrial food supply is they've pretty much been displaced almost completely. Statistics I saw was over 90%, probably closer to 95% of people eating an American diet are terribly deficient in omega-3 fatty acids. And because they're important to every cell in the body, brain, eyes, a deficiency will manifest itself in a lot of ways. And the most common way to tell if somebody's deficient in omega-3 fatty acids is our skin problems, dry skin, eczema, psoriasis. You know more about this than I do, I'm sure. And then, of course, as I said, there are a lot of other micronutrients found in seafood that also are beneficial.
Right, great. So there are a lot of questions that people have about the purity of fish and the concerns about contamination. And I got a question recently posted to me from Patricia, and she asked about are salmon actually safe to eat that are wild caught? Because she said, my understanding is that salmon is high in mercury. And so I wanted to, and also she mentioned other contaminants in the ocean. Oh, can you talk about that and the purity issues, contamination?
I would be happy to talk about that. We talk about that a lot. And, we named our company Vital Choice for quite a few different reasons. And one that, as we mentioned earlier, these are vital nutrients that you only get in the marine food supply or, supplements occasionally. Also, because of my experience in the industry, I know seafood very well. Now, as far as contaminants go, what we've learned over 15 years of doing this, we test fish. We know that our customers are concerned about this. And we, myself, my wife, children, all of our employees and their children, we eat more of our seafood than anybody. So obviously, we don't want to eat anything that's dangerous or harmful. And it's really, when you look into this, there's just so much stuff out there on the internet, sort of fear mongering about contaminants in seafood. But if you really look at the science, the evidence is overwhelming that the benefits of eating seafood outweigh the risks, and particularly certain types of seafood. Now, you don't want to go out and eat a big top of the food chain predator like a you know, a shark or a large, you know, billfish. You don't want to eat anything that's toward the top of the food chain, because those trace levels of mercury that are in, you know, that are pretty much in everything. The whole problem is, or issue is the dose. You know, it's like if you drink too much water, that could be lethal. But it's pretty apparent that, you know, minuscule trace levels of mercury in seafood are not harmful. The biggest, most elegant studies that have been done have all concluded the same thing, that the benefits vastly outweigh the risks. Now, so what we do is we source fish that are known to have shorter lives. A salmon only lives 2 to 4 or 5 years. So they're not out there bioaccumulating large levels of mercury. They eat toward the bottom of the food chain, in particular pink salmon, sockeye salmon. They eat predominantly krill, plankton, you know, toward the bottom of the food chain. And so they're actually one of the cleanest fish. So I'm not sure where Patricia got her information, but I can assure her, and we've done a lot of testing over the years, and salmon are actually one of the cleanest fish in the ocean for those reasons. They eat at the bottom of the food chain, and they're relatively short-lived. And also, Alaska is one of the most pristine areas on Earth. If you've ever been there, it's pretty magnificent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Produces a lot of really great seafood.
So salmon's one of the main fish that you carry, but you have other seafood as well.
We have lots of other kinds of seafood, and it's all great. You know, we just like to provide a variety, and, you know, we'll get requests for things that we don't have, and we'll look at them. If we can find, number one, a clean, pure source, and number two, a sustainable source, that's another foundation of our company, that we will only source sustainably harvested fish. And basically that means that the fish are coming from a fishery that is managed on a biological level. In other words, it's not driven by market demand. It's driven by the scientists that are in charge of making sure that no more fish are taken than that run can sustain. Alaska is really a model for the world on fisheries management. They wrote right into their state constitution when they became a state that all of their fisheries resources would be managed on a sustainable basis. So you have biologists that are in charge of every river that produces salmon. And those biologists are the one that dictate, you know, when you can go fishing, when you can not go fishing. And they want to ensure that every river gets the number of fish it needs. So it's really a great story. The more you, I don't have time to go into much of it today, but if the more you learn about seafood from Alaska, the better it looks.
And that's fascinating. I didn't know that, but that really ties into the questions that I get also about environmental issues with fish, mm-hmm. because I know that there are some people that don't want to eat fish because they're concerned that they're not sustainable, that we're damaging the environment, we're killing off populations of fish, and that we're going to lose salmon at some point. I've actually heard that from people, like, what, we're not going to have wild salmon anymore if we keep fishing the way that we fish. So the reason why I have you on is wild salmon is one of my favorite foods to recommend to people. And so sometimes I get questions on it, and I get these questions of purity, of environmental issues. And so I think it's really important for us to talk about these things so that people can feel comfortable eating this amazing food. So is there anything else you want to add?
Oh yeah. It is truly an amazing food, and not just for humans. I've seen estimates of up to 130 different species rely on wild salmon. And it's not like, you know, we're catching them all and taking them away from the other species. As I said, salmon, let's look at sockeye salmon, which is our sort of signature product. Sockeye salmon only live 4 years. They're born in the rivers. They migrate out into the ocean where there's lots of food, and they grow. And then at 4 years on average, they return back to that same exact spot that they were born. Well, what happens, depending on the ocean conditions, climate, food, all of that, you may get 10 times, 20 times more fish returning to that particular river than those spawning habitats can actually accommodate. for instance, the river that I used to fish in, the optimum number of spawners was about 2 million. And so as those biologists I referred to earlier would count. They've got all different ways of counting these fish coming back into the river. And once they were assured that they were going to get their 2 million, everything else is what they call a harvestable surplus. And one year we had 20 million fish returned to that river, and it was a bonanza in 1995. But the thing about it is, think of another protein, another food, animal food, that is allowed to live 95% of its life as nature intended. Those salmon are not going to live longer than 4 years, and when they get back to that river, their days are numbered. And so the harvestable surplus is taken there, and then that becomes food for humans. And a lot of the ones that go up the river become food for birds and, you know, everything from bacteria on up to, you know, bears and, you know, big predators. So, and people really are surprised to hear that. You know, it's not like that they're being, as opposed to other types of animal foods where, you know, they're only raised for a short time and then taken to market.
So can you spend a moment explaining the difference between what you just described as a wild salmon and what a lot of people are eating and is what's available in most restaurants and grocery stores, right? Farm salmon, even though there has been a shift, like you mentioned, that most of the salmon that we see out there is farmed. So can you explain what that process is like?
Well, the simplest analogy is a comparison between factory farm, say beef, pork, chicken, whatever, and the free range pastured beef, or even a better analogy would be game, wild game. The wild versions, whether it's fish or game, are out consuming what nature intended for them to consume. They're basically the same thing that humans evolved to eat over the millennia. And, you know, humans have been eating seafood. It's been documented for over 160,000 years. We've been practicing agriculture for about 10,000. So when you eat wild seafood, you're basically eating what we were programmed to eat, and our body recognizes it as a natural food. Farmed animals, farmed salmon, all the other things I mentioned, are in this day and age in our country are essentially fed grain. Cows are herbivores. You know, they're not supposed to eat seed products, grain, corn. Same with pretty much everything else. But because in this country we subsidized grains, they're very cheap. They're very plentiful. And so even the salmon, the farmed salmon, are being fed more and more of these grains. I think we can all agree that salmon did not evolve to eat grain products. And the big difference there is these grains are full of linoleic acid, or omega-6 fatty acids. And that's kind of another subject. But as you know, omega-6s in excess tend to be highly pro-inflammatory. And so whether we're eating, you know, factory farm chicken or pork or beef, we're basically eating corn byproducts or corn, lots of omega-6s. And the same thing with farmed salmon. Wild sockeye salmon has roughly 9 times more omega-3s of these essential long chain omega-3s than omega-6s. 9 times more omega-3s than omega-6s. Whereas a farmed salmon, because it's being fed a lot of grain, has about equal amounts of omega-3s and omega-6s. So it doesn't do nearly as good a job of increasing your omega-3 status as wild fish will. And that goes for any farmed fish, catfish, farmed tilapia. We eat a tremendous amount of tilapia in this country, and there's almost, you know, there's very little nutritional value to that compared to a wild alternative.
Yeah. And so with the fish that are grown farm raised, they're fed grain, but what about the environment? Can you speak to that too? The environment in which they're raised.
Sorry. Yeah, that's just the one, you know, the nutritional impact. And of course there's the fact that you know, they're raised in pens in the open marine environment, so there's tremendous pollution problem. They impact other species with disease, parasites, waste, you know, which is farm salmon is cheap because the environment is subsidizing all the waste. We all know what the factory farms look like and the tremendous waste problems that they have. Well, the fish farmers just let Mother Nature take care of the waste. And here in British Columbia, we've got many fish farms out here off the coast set right along the migration routes where the wild salmon, the little wild salmon smolt that are coming down out of the rivers, they have to pass through those waters, and they're picking up parasites, lice, diseases. There's just a lot of problems. We can talk all day about the problems with farm salmon, and I would just suggest to your readers, if they are interested in learning more about this, you can just Google farm salmon and read lots of stuff about it. And there's one particular website called farmedanddangerous.org that goes into all the details of all the different problems with farm salmon. And I might mention that just this morning, we got I saw a notice in my inbox that Canada just approved genetically modified salmon. And to my knowledge, it's the first place in the world it's actually been approved. They're still fighting it here in the U.S. But that's a whole other.
Can you briefly explain why that's a concern?
Genetically modified. Well, it's the first genetically modified animal being sold as food, as I understand it. So there's, you know, a lot of big questions there. And what they've actually done is they've taken a gene out of one type of fish and put it into a salmon so that the salmon grows like many times faster than it normally would. It's called an antifreeze gene. So it doesn't waste a lot of energy maintaining. I won't go into the details here. Again, you can find out more about that. But
And I think that's really interesting. So if it's growing bigger than it's supposed to, that nature intended to, I wonder what that's doing to its nutritional content.
That's the big question.
Yeah. And then also when we eat foods that are genetically modified, what's that doing to our genes? How is that going to modify our genes? So those are some of the questions.
Anybody can answer that. And that's the problem. Now they say in this article that they've had two studies that have basically determined that these are safe for humans to eat. But of course the GM debate has been raging now for many years. And,
Well, we won't really know what the impact is for several generations. We won't know what the impact is.
The important takeaway here is just as with all GM foods, if you want to avoid them, you know, we've been trying to pass labeling laws, which are being defeated at every turn, at least so far. But the way to ensure that you're not getting genetically modified food is to source organic foods. The way to ensure you're not getting genetically modified salmon is to source wild salmon. And and that, you know, there's a tremendous amount of fraud in the marketplace. A lot of farm salmon is labeled as wild because more and more people are asking for it, and most people don't know how to tell the difference. And really, so it becomes critical that you know your fishmonger and you buy a product from stores or people that you can trust.
Yeah. So is there a way to know the difference? So would you be able to tell by looking at a piece of fish if it was farmed versus wild?
I personally could tell 95% of the time. It depends on the species. Farm salmon is typically much lighter, much more pale orange, and it has large white lines, fat lines in it. And then the wild salmon, and especially sockeye salmon, is dark orange, bright. Its nickname is red salmon because the flesh is this brilliant red orange color, and almost you just can't hardly see any fat in it. You know, it's an ocean roaming athlete versus the farm salmon, which is, you know, swimming around circles in a pen its entire life. And so it's very, you know, a lot more fat. And so that's one difference. Typically a store that is going to offer wild salmon, you know, they're paying more, they're going to trouble to get that wild salmon, and they will know where it comes from. And oftentimes the people that are being disingenuous will be, be able to answer direct questions about, if they're saying it's wild salmon, they should be able to tell you exactly where it came from. If they waffle at all, that's usually a big yellow flag. I was with Dr. Weil in New York. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was at a restaurant once and I asked where, they said that we have wild salmon. I said, where'd it come from? And they said, Scotland. And I thought, are you sure it's wild? Because
no, I've
if
heard
it's
it all.
Wild, it's got to come from where? So tell Randy, tell us where it's got to be coming from. If it's really, truly wild.
9 times out of 10, it would be Alaska, possibly British Columbia, but really almost all of it comes from Alaska. They have the biggest, healthiest runs. They're, in the last few years, they've had record salmon runs. I mean, historic levels of salmon runs. Part of it, you know, big part of it is management. Another big part of it is habitat. The lower 48 here, we dammed our rivers and, you know, had industry and logging and civilization. And so salmon have not done well in the lower 48, but Alaska has got 34,000 miles of coastline. It's got thousands of rivers and pretty much every one of them has a salmon run. So most of the salmon, wild salmon you will see in the market is from Alaska. Now, right now, here we are coming into summer. And the salmon are just now starting to go back up in the rivers. And this week in particular, the Copper River King salmon is the first fresh wild salmon of the year in Alaska. So there's a lot of excitement about that. And so anyway.
That's great. Well, Randy, I feel like I could talk to you forever about fish. And sometimes I know I've seen you at conferences before and I've, you know, talked to you a lot about this. So I'm excited that we're able to share this with my audience. And I know that people will probably have more questions. So I'd love to be able to pass them along to you and maybe get back to people if that's okay with you. So people could maybe post some comments below the video on YouTube and my website. I'll pass them along to you and then we can try and get people's questions answered. Because I know people have a lot of questions about the quality of fish and where to get it. And so does that sound good?
Oh, that's absolutely. We're passionate about education every bit as much as we are about, you know, making the fish available. So happy to do that. And I would invite your best guests to visit our website, vitalchoice.com, where we have a huge you know, archive of information. We've got a search box on there so you can ask your questions. We've got a great science-based newsletter that comes out every week, and that's a great source of information. Over 1,000 issues in our archive. So the website is a rich resource. And you can also just call us up because we've got great customer service people that love to answer questions. And I'll be happy to handle them as well.
Yeah. And your fish is delicious. I love getting orders from you and the fish really is amazing. So thank you so much for everything you're doing to provide us with fresh, healthy fish.
Thank you, Trevor. Thanks for helping us get the word out. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks, Randy.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Randy Hartnell. To learn more about Randy and Vital Choice Seafood, visit my website, thespadoctor.com. Go to the podcast page with his interview and you'll see all the information and links there. And if you have any questions, you can post them below the video there or on YouTube. Also, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community on my website or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. If you haven't done so already, I highly recommend that you get your customized skin profile at theskinquiz.com. It's free and only takes a minute to answer questions to get great tips for glowing skin and vibrant health. Theskinquiz.com for your own customized skin report. Also, don't miss out on the latest tips for glowing skin and vibrant health. Be sure to follow me on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, and Twitter and join the conversation. You can also post your questions there. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.